All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. On the line right now is everybody's favorite, Stacey Jo Rost, who finally acknowledged my presence today in the studio, finally came up to me and said, "Hi, Jack." And it was this wonderful meeting of two people who've never actually met in person. And it was so sweet. And then Sugar Shane Peterson, Stacey Jo Rost, immediately runs away from me like I'm toxic, like I'm radioactive.
Well, I don't blame her. Sometimes I feel like doing the same.
Yeah, exactly. Shane gets it. Sometimes you can only just stay around for so long.
Yeah, especially because I got the weird, you know, I get sweaty and then you get the weird musk going on when you're too sweaty. Stacey Jo Rost, how you doing? How you doing this evening, Stacey Jo Rost?
I am doing well. I mean, great news. Survivor is back on the airwaves. There's a lot happening in my life. That really is all of it, but it means so much. And so it's been a big day.
Well, you know, Stacey, because I care about you, I care about your television watching habits. Mm-hmm. And I know that your TV is like a massive part of your day. This is a huge part of your day. But, yeah. Stacey Jo Rost, what if I were to tell you that there is a detox necessary, according to leading experts out there, when it comes to technology? And what if I were to tell you, Stacey Jo Rost, that we have an email from young Orion, who is 15 years old, and he is a dedicated Cairo Nights listener. And he's got a question for us, Stacey Jo Rost. Are you ready to hear what he wants us to ponder?
I'm ready.
Says, "I have been thinking a lot about how technology is changing people. I see more and more people ignoring everything around them just so they can look at their phone for 5 more seconds. I see more and more people ignoring their friends and focusing on their phone. It feels like nowadays with technology," nowadays from the young lad, "nowadays with technology, people are starting to become more and more controlled."
Not like in 2005 when he was born.
Such a cool guy. It says, "Nowadays with technology, people are starting to become more and more controlled by it, and so it somewhat scares me. It also feels like parents are teaching their kids that it's not okay to go outside and explore and maybe even get hurt on accident. Instead, they encourage them to stay on their phones or use the TV all day. I have educated myself on the facts and studies done about how people today are using their technology more and more and shutting out everyone else. It just feels like my generation will grow up and be glued to their phones and tech. I hope this makes sense, what I am saying." Of course it does, young sir, and you are very wise beyond your years. If you want to send us an email, 989-789-73-STATE. That's a State Roofing text line.
973nights@gmail.com,
Thank you very much, Sugar Shane Peterson. So, Stacey Jo Rost, I ask you, and you and I are both very much so addicted to our phones, and I know this because occasionally you and I just speak in emoji language. That's a totally, that's apex phone addiction, where you're not even typing things anymore. It's just laughy face, thumbs up, kissy face, hard eyes.
Right,
totally. And then pictures of my Pomeranian. That's peak level phone addiction. So I ask you, Stacey Jo Rost, what are you addicted to?
I think that our young listener here that emailed into you in your show is right on point. I am absolutely addicted to at all times just having some kind of noise going on. I think that I would imagine a lot of other people feel this way. Like, a silence gives you a lot of anxiety and makes you think a lot. So have to have a TV on, have to have a podcast going, not at the same time, have to, you know, be looking at your phone when you're like in a waiting office. What am I supposed to, am I just supposed to sit in the lobby across from someone and stare at this person or just stare ahead with my thoughts?
Yeah.
Am I just supposed to sit there with my own brain and like think of things in my brain? That sounds horrible. I would much rather look at my phone and read an article or text a friend.
So, Stacey Jo Rost, I was at the airport this weekend, and I'm flying back to Washington, and I'm at San Jose International Airport. And as I'm sitting there, I'm surrounded by, let's give or take 70-some-odd people. I look around, and every single person has their phone out. Now, I know that sounds kind of like trite to say that now. Is it kind of like, yeah, we get it. Everybody's got their phones. But the weird thing is that as I was scanning around, occasionally someone would look up like a gazelle on the African plain and look around as if danger was coming.
Chewing.
And then they would go right back down. And I felt almost like in this weird I don't know what you want to call it, this alternative universe where we still have those habits from when we were lesser mammals, but now it's instead of eating grass and enjoying our life on the African plain, it's sitting at SJO and just consuming media nonstop. My addiction, Stacey Jo Rost, is my phone, 100%. I do everything with my phone. If I don't have it near me, I feel weird. I feel like I'm going to miss out on something. Mm-hmm. So at all times, I have my nicotine lozenges and I have my phone on me like a little baby. Like I need my pacifier and my little rattle toy at all times. So I'm thinking, how do we break free of this, Stacey Jo Rost? Do you have any ideas as to how we can cure ourselves?
Here's the problem. I don't want to. And so how do I bring myself? I'll say this. What I need to be better about is, and collectively, you know, maybe all of us, limiting yourself to either in time or to like one at a time. Like what I don't need to be doing is sitting with my friends, watching a movie and then being on my phone. Like I'm in the moment, like watching a movie with someone. I can turn and talk to this person about the movie. I don't need to be like looking online to like see what I'm missing out on or whatever, or just like a weird habit. Like you just look at it, you open Twitter, you open, I don't even know, Amazon, whatever it is. I don't know. Forcing yourself to talk to people. Jack, I don't know what to do. I don't want to give it up.
See,
Jack.
This is where I am as well, because how am I supposed to text funny memes while we're watching the movie? Like if there's something funny in the movie or something serious in the movie, and then there is a meme that directly correlates to that, what's going on the screen. Shane, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the texting the same people in the same room as you.
Yeah.
You talking about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
It's an absolutely essential practice, I feel, especially when you're in situations where you can't really, you know, give somebody a look and give them the whole like, come on, man. You just give them the message direct.
Yeah.
It's a useful tool. It saves a lot of awkward moments.
So when Sarah and I want to leave a social event, the emoji that we use is double skull. So if one of us...
Double skull, interesting.
Double skull, that's the code language that we use. We want to get out of here, double skull. And as soon as I get the double skull, I have to start making excuses. Oh, we got to go feed the dog. Oh, we got to go feed the cats. Oh, we got to get... My bunions are acting up. Whatever I can come up with in order to get out of that circumstance. I think that maybe we need to embrace our new dependence on technology to a certain degree. In the same way that there are people out there who listen to the radio 24/7, much like myself, there are certain media addictions that I don't have. I can't stand cable television, Stacey Jo Rost, which is why you and I can never have a sleepover, because all you do is watch cable television. So what I think that we need to embrace this thing now, that this is just a part of our lives, and this is what we have. We have a little computer god right next to us. It's not better than me. It's not, I can break it. It's not, doesn't have any control. I can get rid of it at any time, but I choose to have it in my life because it's my precious. See what I'm saying?
I absolutely do. And hear me out. What if this is why, in the generation for this listener especially, but like any Gen Z kids, they seem to be really, really focused on authenticity.
Right.
And I wonder if part of that is growing up in a world where everyone at all times is projecting someone they want to be. And things feel detached. Like if tech so saturates your world, then I feel like sometimes it can feel like nothing feels too real. I'm getting real deep right now.
No, I hear you. Right, I hear you. We call it being terminally online is the topic that we say terminally online. Someone who exists so much in the online sphere that they lose track of what it means to actually talk to another human being. I had that difficulty this week in the studio because I'm going around saying hi to everybody. These are people that normally I email with them and I send them funny little jokes. But now I have to actually talk to people, and I'm not funny or interesting unless I have a microphone in front of me. So then I'm like, I'm like kicking the ground in front of me, and they're like, "Oh wow, Jack, you're so great on nights." I'm like, "Thanks."
They're looking and they're like, "What? I didn't. What did you say?
Could you speak up a little bit?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I can." I'm just really quiet.
Jack, we can't hear you.
So according to Forbes, 71% of Gen Z and 69% of millennial employees admit that they're constantly checking their work communication tools outside of work. Stacey Jo Ross, do you ever check the Outlook account when you're not in the building?
Oh, yeah, it's hard not to. I mean, you just inevitably, you get a notification. Notifications is what does you in. You get notifications for things, and then you're like, well, I can't have this little red circly number staring at me. I have to click on it and see what it is.
Yeah, my biggest issue is the sound. Whenever the Outlook chime goes off, ching, I have to check it. It doesn't matter what I'm doing, so much so that I leave it on during the show, and then it goes out to the dozens of people that listen to the show on a regular basis. And lost us, Brian from Kent. Brian from Kent was so technology claims another victim. Brian from Kent decided to leave us because he was tired of my Outlook account constantly going on.
We miss you, Brian.
We miss you. So this article goes on to say that it's true that reducing your technology use improves your physical, emotional, and spiritual wellness. Studies show us that mobile technology usage can cause and increase anxiety. And my response is like, well, that's what I have my Ativan for. That's what I just... I just take a little bit of that Xanax, take the edge off, and then I can go back on Twitter and do my job. So, but the study actually shows that it's changing the way, Stacey, that we interact with each other in the short term. So normally you see a coworker, you go up to this coworker, you say, how is your day? How are you doing? So on and so forth. And you're genuinely invested in that person. But this is saying that much like how we need the immediate dopamine feedback from Instagram, Reddit, whatever it is, that now we expect the other person to meet our dopamine standards of, oh man, the craziest thing happened at the Fall Out Boy concert the other day. People started punching each other on stage. We expect that kind of excitement. And when someone just says, oh, I had a very nice weekend with my kids, we tune out and lose those moments. And my concern, Stacey, is that we are going to become more and more like a Twitter feed or like a Reddit feed or like an Instagram feed, where unless you have the dopest story that happened just 30 seconds ago, no one's going to want to talk to you.
I could see, I don't know about that extreme, but I can absolutely see just the general idea of people being on at all times and kind of just like having this very fake, like there's a fakeness to every interaction. It's how I imagine it is to live in LA. Everyone is just trying to be someone, like actively be someone, where, you know, when you talk to someone and in real life, it seems like they think they're in a TV show, like they just read a line almost. And you're like, wow, this is an incredibly weird experience, the way the person is talking.
Yeah.
I think that that's just what technology is going to do to people.
There was an essayist, I forget her name, but she wrote a series of essays that she compiled into a book. And it was that we now use and think about our lives in cinematic terms. Mm-hmm. And we now almost engage in life using cinematic language because of the influence that that has had on us developing. So her basic thesis is you are sitting in a restaurant and your ex doesn't show up, and this was going to be the meetup where you guys were going to reconcile, and you've got a bouquet of roses, and then all of a sudden that song comes on, the Dido song comes on in the background.
Dido and Fall Out Boy.
Yeah, and Fall Out Boy. It comes on in the background, and the music swells, and you're sitting in this cafe, and there's all this life going on around you that... This essayist was saying that we now interpret that as being a cinematic moment. We go, oh, it was so much like a movie when I got it was so much like a movie when we were at the Grand Canyon, as opposed to just saying it was really cool to be at the Grand Canyon. So,
yes,
in the future,
and I also wonder if it changes expectations.
Ooh, in what ways, Stacey Jo Ross?
Say, for instance, people feel like they have that like movie experience for something, and they feel like maybe there should be a connection that they should have made with a young man or woman or what have you. You know what I mean? Or there's an expectation. Like, I would feel like that continues to feed into social pressures of like, you aren't where you're supposed to be in your life because it just hasn't happened. You know, there's this feeling of like that your plot should be moving forward.
Mm. I saw, you guys both know that I go to the dark corners of the internet for my job to figure
out.
Okay, so yep. I saw
for your job.
For my job, in quotation marks. I saw posts from a guy who he's a young guy. I think he's like 19, 20 years old, but he was a white supremacist, avowed white supremacist on this particular forum. And he was talking about in his post, he said, "Is this it for us?" Meaning white people. And he goes, meaning that we will never have our own country. We will never have our own culture. And he's going down this list of things that he wants. And he paints this cinematic image for everybody in this post, this awful cinematic image of like this predominantly, you know, white hegemon with white picket fences all over the place.
Jeez.
But for him, that movie, and this is what got me, that movie must play in his mind on a regular basis. And because he's such a bigot, he can't break away from it.
Yes.
And his sadness is based on a fiction that he made in his mind.
Yes.
Like,
yes, he is truly living in another reality. And my favorite thing about this really horrendous thing is that this person is just now dawning on him that this might not happen, which means, like, as of last Tuesday, he was like, man, we're still on board for this. Like, this is definitely still a possibility. Like,
yeah.
It's just now dawning on him. Like, wait a minute.
He's like, but I thought I was going to get my awful white supremacist utopia at some point in time, and you guys are telling me it's never going to happen.
That's exactly right. Just last week, he was always like planning stuff for it, and now he's posting on some forum being like, guys, I've been thinking over the weekend.
He's like walking around his neighborhood, and he goes, wait a minute, this isn't my awful vision of America. So Stacey Jo Ross, just to wrap this up, there are four rules that this person says that we should abide by when we think about technology detox. And it's setting boundaries, which you and I both cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
Use your phone with purpose, which, again, is something that you and I cannot
mm-hmm.
do. Yeah. And then the other one was this idea of distancing. So you put the phone in another room altogether, and then you leave it, and then you walk away from it and don't go back to it.
That might be the route we have to take.
That might be the one. And then also, yeah, it says take advantage of your phone's apps and features, meaning that you turn off all notifications for a certain period of time, put your phone on airplane mode, whatever you can do in order to break the habit of looking at your phone nonstop. But speaking of, Stacey Jo Ross, you have to get back to basic cable, and we cannot take up any more of your time.
That's exactly right. I was going to say, I'll see you guys later. I'm going to go watch this show and shop on Amazon my phone for a little while.
Stacey Jo Ross can be heard every single day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 710 ESPN. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back with Ask Us Anything right after this. This is the song that where I met Frank Shires.
Only appropriate.
Back in Austin, Texas, 1976. Did I ever tell you this story, Catherine with the K. Federer?
No, tell me, please.
Okay, so, Shane, keep it going a little bit. But
gotcha.
So I walk into the roller derby in Austin, Texas in 1976. I got my freshest bell bottoms on, and I'm hanging out with my guys, my bros. We saunter over to the bar.
Yeah.
Get a couple of Coca-Colas with the boys.
Coca-Cola.
All of a sudden, I see this giant afro, this giant 4-foot afro, gliding around the roller rink. Gliding. And then I go, who is that? I say, who is that to my bros? And they go, you don't know who that is? And right at that moment, Frank Shires does a double backflip over the side of the wall, lands in front of the bar, pounds an entire Coke that he did not pay for. He just took it from somebody, pounded it, skated back over to the roller rink, got right back in. They said, that's Dance and Frank Shires. And I said, I have to do radio with that guy at some point in time in my future. I have to.
Is your storytelling part of why your extremely attractive wife fell in love with you?
Yeah, likely. My smoking hot wife, yep. Likely.
She's so hot. I saw a picture today. She is hot.
Thank you. Thank you very much. She is unbelievably attractive. Speaking of, by the way, 206 wants to know, and you're going to think I'm making this up, but 206 wants to know, who's this Jean-Pierre fella? We're actually talking about Jean-Luc.
Jean-Luc.
This Jean-Luc character. So they want to know about Jean-Luc. They want to know about the legacy of Jean-Luc. And now, so Jean-Luc...
He hasn't smoked in a week.
I don't believe this.
No, he has. He hasn't smoked in a week since, you know, I gave him a hard time and we talked about it and okay. He knew all about this.
And we sent him the podcast and he listened to it.
Yeah, he said he hasn't smoked in a week.
What is he doing to replace the smoking with?
He's been doing a lot of chores. He's visiting his parents. There's a cat that he hangs out with.
He's smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, that's something that I usually do when I'm really hankering for some nicotine. I go sweep the floor.
Okay, we're not talking about Jean-Luc anymore. I can't help
okay.
it.
Okay, all right.
That is fair.
It's a fair boundary.
Because there are actually some pretty good questions
just
in the chat
line. Sexy.
Okay, well, we're not talking about Jean-Luc anymore. We will never talk about him ever again.
Fine.
But hopefully Brian from Kent comes back. Speaking
that's
of people.
That's the guy who we're really looking for.
We really want Brian from Kent to come back.
Why? Who's Brian from Kent?
That's a long story.
It's a very long story.
We want to get to some. These are really good questions.
Okay.
This is from 360. If you could be invisible, would you mess with Biden, Harris, or Pelosi, or all of the above? That's from Oswald. Now, mess with, I'm assuming, pranks. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming we... But here's the thing. Like, Joe Biden's already kind of like... He's not all there. So I feel like for him, there's always an invisible man around him moving things and messing with his stuff. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't feel like he needs one.
So mean.
I wouldn't want to mess with any of them, to be honest with you. I feel like if I was invisible, I'd want to help people. Like, I'd want to get kittens out of trees, and, you know, if somebody drops their wallet in the street, they keep walking, I would pick it up for them and put it back in their pocket. I would want to be a good invisible man, not a bad invisible man.
I was invisible.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember that Clay Aiken hit?
Sugar Shane Peterson, what about you? Would you want to mess with anybody, or would you just want to be a nice guy?
I mean, I don't see myself messing with either of these people. If I had to choose, I'd probably go Pelosi. I think Pelosi would probably be the most humorous one out of the three, but... For me, honestly, I could think of a bunch of other people that I'd much rather mess
Jean-Luc.
With. Jean-Luc's one of them.
He's a great
absolutely.
Example. Catch him smoking cigarettes while he's supposed to be doing his chores.
Yeah, I'll just be, if I'm invisible, I'll just walk up and I'll flick the ash and it will just bounce back right
that
into
That wasn't
head.
Part of this person's question, guys.
Oh, that's true. Sorry, we just get distracted sometimes. So speaking of, what's the earliest memory you have of your life and how old were you? That's from Doug in Lake Stevens, Catherine with the K Federer.
You know, I remember looking out the window on a rainy morning in Texas and watching the raindrops on these beautiful peach roses outside the window on my bunk bed while my little brother slept under me.
That's...
Not under me, like on the bunk.
No, I understand. That's a very sweet story. Shane, what about you?
I've talked about this before with a few other people. I've been asked this question before, but truthfully, the earliest memory I have is of my grandma Sharon, who passed away when I was really, really young from cancer. And it's the oldest memory that I have, and this is 100% true. I'm not trying to get any sob points, but when I was a little kid, I remember going over to my grandparents' house. I remember standing in the exact spot in the living room, and this was right before, you know, she passed away, and she was really, really sick, and I did something wrong, and I was upset,
aww.
And I was crying, and she's like, Shane, what's wrong? I'm like, I did something bad. I'm not a good boy, and she goes, Shane, don't ever say that. You're always going to be a good boy, and that's seriously, I'm honestly kind of tearing up thinking about it, but that's the earliest memory I had. I was probably about 4 years old.
That is so sweet, Shane. That's such a beautiful story. Mine's awful. Mine's horrific.
What was it, Jack Stein?
So my sister and I used to play this game when we were kids where we would get a blanket and we would lie at either end of the blanket, lying flat on our backs, and then we would throw stuffed animals up into the air. And if you hit the other person, you got a point. And so we would throw stuffies at each other, like a stuffed bears. Yeah. But you couldn't, like... sit up and huck it at the person. It had to go up and over, right? Up and over, like a game of badminton almost.
I really hope you didn't kill your sister.
No, so she decided to take a music box that had metal corners. And
oh, no.
she says, she goes, "Hey, Jack." And I go, "What?" And she goes, "Sit up." And I go, "Okay," because I was like 4. And so I sit up, and then she hucks this music box at me, hits me right in the eye. Boom, hits me right in the eye. So I am like, "Wow, that hurts really bad." So I walk out to my mom, and I go, "Hey, Mom, what's wrong with my head?" And my mom starts freaking out. So she picks me up, and I'm like, "Mom, why are you freaking out?" She takes me in the bathroom in the mirror, and my first cognitive memory that I have is me looking at myself in the mirror while just a tremendous amount of blood is coming from my orbital socket.
Metal.
Just tremendous all the way down my face. So I see it, and I immediately just start screaming, right, because I'm a four-year-old baby. And later, what I would do in life with that memory is put all the pieces together and know that that was the full lineage of the story, right? Mm. So, but yeah, no, that was my earliest memory, is looking at me, just blood red face. I looked like Mel Gibson in Braveheart, only wow. It was red. That's wow. Whole side of my face.
That's a look right there.
It's pretty metal.
That was a great story, though.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Have you thrown anything at your sister since?
No. She's in jail now, and rightfully so. So let's see here. We got time for one more, Shane? We got to bump out.
Oh, no. We totally got time for one more.
Okay. This is really weird. This is really serendipitous. Somebody else. So 425 says, "What is your first memory?" And then 425 as well, different 425, though, says the earliest memory of your life and how old you were. So two people at the same time did the same one. And you know what I think we should do? I think we should take a moment, Shane Peterson, to thank Catherine with a K Federer, because this is her last Soft Rock Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
This is the last one.
The last time we get weird and soft.
Before we can get... Oh. So that's my question to you, Catherine with a K Federer, is how did you feel about hanging out for the last couple of weeks?
Oh. This was so much fun. I'm gonna miss you guys.
Yeah.
We still got a few more days to go.
We still got a couple more days.
We do have
but
to
I
say...
like Soft Rock Wednesday.
I know.
I love
we
Soft Rock.
Everybody
and
does.
I love Wednesday. And you guys are so awesome. Yeah.
That's sweet. All right. Well, Sugar Shane Peterson, take us out. And when we get back, we're gonna figure out what's on everybody's mind. I'll tell you right now what's on my mind. I have no idea how people watch cable television. I have no idea. I have not had cable in my house for years. And just having two screens in the studio going at the same time, it's madness. I feel like I'm hallucinating. It's John Behrman and Anderson Cooper, and then Fox News is on, and they're talking. It's just absolute, utter madness. I'm so glad that I do not have a cable television. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back with a whole lot more Cairo Nights right after this. Don't care, I know. Venture a highway in the sunshine, where the days are longer, the nights are stronger. This has been a fun show. This has been fun, Shane.
I agree. It's been a really good show tonight.
Some fun guests on.
I mean, we had the goat of all, for our first guest
of
the evening.
We had the goat on, and then we had... I mean, we gotta talk to Tariq Ansari about working on his... he's, like, slacking off, because he's in college, and he's 15 years old, and he's thinking that
He's meeting girls for the first time.
Yeah, we got to talk to him about picking up the segment. But Catherine with a K Federer, you did a great job tonight. Are you feeling...
thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. You are so very welcome. Yeah. So, what is on your mind? Sugar Shane Peterson, I feel like you should go first tonight.
Well, Jack, there's one thing on my mind, and I know that you got to experience this, but deep-fried cheesecake is on my mind right now.
Yeah.
Because I've got some. You know, me and Jack went and got some Fat Shack last night in Pioneer Square, if you guys have never been to that place.
Oh, I guess I wasn't invited.
You know, it's boys' night out. You know, we had to do boys' stuff. It was kind of like us hanging out in our tree fort. No girls allowed.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah, I know.
But I didn't want to come anyway.
I know. Yeah, I mean, but here, you know what you should do? You should try this deep-fried cheesecake idea.
I can't, remember?
Oh, why can't you try deep-fried cheesecake?
Right. She cannot have the lactose.
Guys, okay.
Why can't you have lactose?
Guys, just stop.
Okay.
Just continue your
But cheesecake is great. So You should just deep fry it and make it even better. It's like making it like a little bit of a fair food. I don't know if you're a big fan of
fair. I've had it before.
Have you had it before?
At a sushi restaurant. It was incredible.
Oh, really? Oh, at a sushi restaurant? I didn't know that. I thought Fat Shack was revolutionizing something. But if anybody's out there who knows how to find a good recipe for it, I'm trying to make it at home. I'm trying to be fat all the time.
Yeah. I will say the weird thing about, you know, I enjoyed going there, but it weirdly sticky. Everything was sticky in there. I felt like sticky tables, sticky floor, sticky, sticky.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I kind of like going to those places. You feel like your feet are a little bit firmer on the ground.
You're not going to slide around at all. Catherine,
but you find yourself in very sticky situations.
Well, here's the other thing that so whenever I have my bag with me after work, I never leave it in a car. I just don't leave it in a vehicle. And Sugar Shane Peterson decides that when we go to Fat Shack, he goes so that he's just going to get out of the car and leave his bag in the back seat. And I go, bro, don't you want to get your bag?
No. Yeah, not too worried about it.
Just not too worried about it.
I've got a Subaru with an excellent alarm system. So
right, but
if anybody's going to try to jack it or do anything crazy. And there's not too much that's all valuable in there that I couldn't get back through insurance. So, you know, if anything, if I did get anything stolen, I mean, my insurance would just pay for me to get a new MacBook, which would be pretty sweet.
Catherine with the K. Federer, what's on your mind?
So many things. I could say something about that. Like today I was going running and I wanted to put my keys on the tire, but this lady started looking at me like right when I'm putting the keys on the tire, this jogger starts looking at me and I'm like, is she going to steal my car to try to teach me a lesson?
You got
to
put them in between the fingers and run with them just in case if anything abrasive jumps out, you can give them a good punch with the keys in the fist.
Yeah.
Did you exactly the same time?
Well, but that just means that Shane is exactly correct about that. When multiple people do the double yeah, even in a circumstance, it means that it's double correct.
We did it at the exact same length. It was like, yeah.
That's how you know I'm really right.
Maybe we could harmonize with it. See, what? Wow. You're flat. You're ruining the song.
What? You're, I'm flat?
Yeah,
all right, everybody together.
Okay, you guys are ruining the show right now. But what is on your mind? So you were decided to go running and you were going to leave your keys on the tire. Why not just have the keys in like a running satchel or a pocket or something like that?
I don't have a running satchel and my yoga pants don't have any pockets. And sometimes I like to test humanity. I used to do this at bookstores. I would like leave my purse on the chair, go to the bathroom, because I really do believe in the good of humanity. And it usually turned out okay, except for the one time my GPS, you know, in New York, somebody broke through the window and stole the GPS.
Okay.
And it was the one time I cleaned my car. Like, it was always a mess. And somebody said, why don't you clean your car? So I cleaned it. Somebody breaks through the window and steals my Garmin. What's on your mind, Jack Stein?
Well, so this Fox News is playing right now, and apparently the Queen's Gambit, that movie, is being sued by the original Grandmaster that it's based on. And she is saying that this rendition of her life is totally fabricated because she did compete against dozens of men in her career. She wasn't just relegated to playing against women. So,
well, in the show, she plays against dudes.
Well, I guess there's something about. So the other thing is, Ethan Behrman is my buddy right there who used to be on. Ethan Behrman is
glasses
on the side. Okay. He used to be on a major radio station in San Francisco, KGO.
Oh.
And so I'm looking at Ethan, and I know Ethan, and I'm looking at Ethan on TV, and
he's happy.
He's a very nice guy, but I'm in this surreal moment right now where I'm looking at Ethan, and I go, I know that guy, and he's on TV right now talking about this lawsuit. Yeah. And I go, I should be on there talking about this lawsuit. Ethan's an interesting and compelling guy, but I'm dynamic.
You do have a great face, too.
See?
I don't think they'll let you wear the black baseball cap, though, if you go on TV.
I'm going in with the black baseball cap. It's the trademark. If I don't have it, who am I? I'm just some loser. But when I got the black on black on black, I'm Jack Stein. And that's the way you have to roll.
Your shirt's gray, but fine.
It's everything else is black.
Okay, well, your teeth
are
white.
Well, we have to take a really quick break. We will be back in 21 hours for the Thursday edition of Cairo Night. So stick around. Don't go anywhere. Sugar Shane Peterson, you want to take us out tonight?
Sure. From all of us here at Cairo Nights, we hope you have a nice, safe night. And, you know, we'll see you here tomorrow.
Perfect.
Have a good night. When your day is through, and so is your time.